Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18. We're going to lay some foundational things down here for messages that we will have coming up in the next few days. It would help a lot if you have your Bible ready as we go through these scriptures. To go down through these two chapters and just have a look at them, and as I said here a minute ago, it would be great if you could have your Bible ready. You'd get a lot more out of this study. And as we go through this portion of scripture, I know we've played this message in song quite a bit, but it's such an important one. It says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me." We don't just want to go through these programs and get some kind of head knowledge of what's happening in the book of Revelation, but the Bible says these things are written for our admonition. And so make it your prayer, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
It is very interesting that God denotes two whole chapters to this study of the fact that Babylon is falling, chapter 17 and chapter 18. These chapters are parenthetical, that is, they are not part of a timetable, but they're put in here to explain some details concerning the fact that Babylon is falling. We're going to, as we mentioned, go through this portion of scripture now just to look at the content, what is here, and lay a foundation for the messages which will come in the days ahead. I'm beginning to read in Revelation 17, verse number 1. Again, if you have your Bible ready, it would be a help to you. It says in verse 1, "There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me. Now, that's interesting. The angel comes and talks with John, and he didn't have some angel gibberish like we, some people say speaking in tongues is. He talked to him, and he understood him. He said, he came, one of the seven angels, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, John, again, he makes his choices. That's how he ended up here in the Isle of Patmos. He decided to serve the Lord, got him into trouble with the authorities, and he ended up here in the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner. Well, God said, "I got some great things for you if you want them. Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." Now, John could have said, "No, I had enough of this. I'm just going to sit here and kind of lick my wounds for a little while." He didn't. He said, "No, I want whatever God has for me." I hope that's your case today. He said, "I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Well, John was willing to go, so we read in verse number 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Now get the picture here. This is one highly well-dressed prostitute is what she is. She's a whore, but she's arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, and she's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And the Bible says in verse number 5, "And upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth." John went on to say in verse 6, "I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Verse 9 says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7 and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God," get this verse now, "for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now, I want to read that verse again. "God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. God has vessels to honor, and he has vessels to dishonor. And he'll use these vessels of dishonor to fulfill his will. He used Pilate, he used Herod, and he's using a lot of false prophets today to get things done so that these prophecies that are in here will be fulfilled. Well, I'm going to read it one more time. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beasts until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Get it in your head. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Well, the angel goes on to tell John in verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now we're going to read on down through chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. John said in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore her plague shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Well, what are the kings going to do? It says in verse number 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Verse number 10 says, they're standing afar off for fear of her torment. I think that's interesting. They're standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So that's what the king said. What about the merchants? Verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and of pearl and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. What's it say about all those? And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich, and all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Well, they're going to realize here what God is doing. Well, then in verse 20, the focus changes to those of us who know what's going on. And it says in verse number 20, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more. And it'll be a great day when the music of this world is heard no more. And it goes on to say, "And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee." In other words, all of their merchandise, all of their business world is destroyed. It says in verse 23, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Well, we have some interesting stuff here. What God refers to as Babylon. It's interesting that the only city that is mentioned more in the Bible than Babylon is the city of Jerusalem. What we're talking about here just lies somewhere in the near future. So what we need to be doing is getting busy for the Lord while we possibly can. Make this song your prayer. "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights."
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. Resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is a living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.